to page 423. And it has something to do with the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his purpose. And inshallah, we'll try to translate some of it to you. It is Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah number 29 or 39. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا ما كان محمد أبا من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوا بكرة وأصيلا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى يخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما يا أيها النبي إنا لك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم. A very brief translation. As you, I'm pretty sure you all know what the meaning of it, but just in case for some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous, first verse that was recited, Allah says that those who deliver God's messages and they don't fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and God is enough for them to be fearing of. Says Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a father from any one of you, except he is the last messenger of God. And Allah advises us to keep remembering him, do dhikr of his. And says that it is he who sends his blessing upon you and his messenger, and his malaika or angels, so he can bring you out of darkness to light. And he is very compassionate towards the mu'mineen, or the believers. And the end verses, it says that, O you, the messenger of God, we sent you as a witness and a glad tidings giver and a warner, and you're a caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your siraj and munir means you're a source of light. Please recite the salawat. I see Muhammad, where is, oh, he is here. I did not forget you tonight, sorry about last night. So please go ahead and invite our dear Muhammad Qazwini to the podium with the salawat.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic that I will be talking about tonight is what lessons can the youth today learn from Imam Hussein and his companions and his family. Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of youth in the crowd with us today. But this is not only pertaining to the Muslim youth, this is also pertaining to non-Muslim youth and beyond. Because Imam Hussein and his companions and his family were a beacon of light for everybody, not just for the Shia Muslims or the Sunni Muslims, but for everybody. So I have a list of some of the things that we learn from Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, and what we can take from them to fit in today's context. And a couple of these will be grouped together under one major theme, and some of them will have their own themes. So for the first theme, it will be the connection to your deen and the faith in Allah. So there are three major things we learn from Imam Hussein and his family and his companions on the day of Ashura. The first is to have the utmost faith in Allah. The second is to have love for Allah and his religion. And the third thing is to always defend your religion. Now, the first thing we see is to always have utmost faith in Allah. According to a Gallup survey, which Gallup is a company that does surveys across the United States. Every year, they do census surveys, they do different kinds of surveys to see what's happening in the United States. And recently, in 2020, they published one in March 31st, 2021. They said that according to the Gallup survey, there is a dramatic trend away from religious affiliation in the recent years. Among all age groups, almost 47% are saying that they are non-religious, whether it's coming from synagogues, or mosques, or temples, or wherever, or churches, or wherever. 47% of Americans are saying that they are non-religious. They don't believe in a religion. They don't believe in a God. Right? So we're seeing a trend in America away from religion. Why? Because people have forgotten to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have lost their faith in God. They see all these things happening around them, the pandemic, right? They lost their job, they lost family members, whatever. And who do they blame it on? They blame it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, you did this to me. Or they say that there is no God, because if there was a God, this wouldn't happen to me. Right? Now, the second thing we see. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion. More than just holding on to the rope of God, what do we need? We need the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because without love for your religion, then that religion becomes stale after a while. I was talking to a friend the other day, and, you know, I was asking the normal questions, how's life, how's work? And when I asked him about work, he said, you know what, I'm thinking of quitting. I was like, why? The hours are good, you know? The money is good, you're making good money, why do you want to quit? He's like, my heart really isn't into it, you know? I don't really love my job. It's kind of getting boring, you know? It's kind of getting repetitive. That's the exact same thing with religion, right? No matter how beautiful the religion is, how perfect the religion is, if your heart isn't in it, if your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't there, after a while it gets stale. Because you don't really want to be doing this, right? Your heart's not in it, but you're kind of just forced to keep doing it. And this third thing under this theme is to defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at Imam Hussein defended his religion to his last breath. He never gave up on his religion. Likewise, we have to be doing the exact same thing. I just gave you guys a horrifying number. 47% of Americans that are saying that we are non-religious. It falls upon us Muslims to spread our religion, to get that 47% and bring Allah back to them. Show them that there is a religion worth worshipping. Show them the good side of the religion. Bring them back to the deen. Now, the second theme is patience and loyalty. The first thing is patience in difficult times. So, Imam Hussein had the utmost patience, and his companions along with him had the utmost patience. They knew they were marching towards their death, but tawakkalna ala Allah. They put their will in Allah, khalas, they were going. They had patience in the will of Allah. Right now in America, we are going through one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world. There are 7 major pandemics that are cited in the history books, and COVID marks the 7th. The only pandemic to ever reach numbers close to COVID-19 was H1N1, the influenza, back in 1918. That infected 50 million people before it was stopped, right? Before vaccination rates got high enough to stop it. COVID-19 today has affected 209 million people across the world. Comparing 50 million, that was the worst pandemic, to 209 million. And the rates are going up every day, right? We are in one of the most harrowing times for America, where we see our family members dying around us, where we are losing our jobs. I was talking to a person outside the masjid the other day, and they said, you know how hard it is to get a job right now in my field? Because there are no jobs in America right now. Companies are going under, they're struggling to stay afloat. There are no jobs for people. People aren't making money, they're sitting at home. They can't support their families. But what does Imam Hussein teach us? To have patience in these times, right? To weather the storm. Wait for the rainbow that comes after the rain. Because eventually it will happen if you hold tight in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you continue to wait, you continue to have that patience, that sabr, your salvation will come. And the two most important things we found from Imam Hussein and his companions: unbreakable loyalty and faith in your loyal companions. Now, unbreakable loyalty is one thing. Being loyal to a cause, right? Saying that this is my cause and I will die on this hill. That no matter what happens, I have your back. Right? We see that with a lot of people. There are some people in our life that no matter what, you will have their back. No matter what they decide to do, you'll be right there with them. But the most important aspect comes where? Trust in the loyalty of the people around you. Trust in the loyalty of your companions, because that is the harder part. The harder part is not having that loyalty. The harder part is taking the blind leap of faith and trusting that the people around you are just as loyal as you are. According to a survey done by Harvard, a national survey stated that 36% of the youth in America have said that they do not trust the people around them, that they do not feel like they have a shoulder to cry on. Right? Because blindly trusting someone is scary. Not knowing whether if you fall, they're going to catch you. That's a scary thought. But Imam Hussein teaches us that you trust in your companions. On a night like tonight, when he blew out the candle and he told his companions, tomorrow you will die. I am giving you leave. You can leave under the cover of darkness. Nobody will see you. You can leave because tomorrow you will die. All I ask is take one of my family members with you. Which one of his companions left? When given the opportunity, which one of his companions left? None of them. They all stood with him knowing that they were going to die, knowing that death was awaiting them. But they had loyalty, and Imam Hussein trusted their loyalty. And the two most important things the youth can take away from Imam Hussein: to fight and speak out against tyrants, and to never back down if you are on the straight path. The first one, to fight and speak out against tyrants. Today in a group chat, one of my friends texted and he was like, hey, have you guys heard what's happening with the world? Because I want to talk about it, you know? I want to get into like a little debate, a little conversation. And I was like, you got to be more specific than that. Talking about Palestine, Yemen, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Mexico, Haiti, the United States, what are you talking about? Right? Because everywhere we look, either countries are getting bombed, right? Look at Palestine and Yemen, countries are getting bombed, right? We look at Lebanon, where the people don't have money to, where the people don't have money to buy food. The people are starving, and the president just resigned, right? We look to Haiti, where they just had a 7.6 earthquake, and the president was assassinated, right? We look to Mexico, that has one of the highest rates of femicide, right? Women are being slaughtered left and right, right? We look to the United States, that all it does is go into other countries, ruin those countries, and then leave, and take no responsibility for it. Our president gets up and says, this is not our problem. He makes a couple petty excuses, and then he walks away, right? So it is our job to step up and stop this. Because obviously the governments of the world aren't doing enough. Governments have failed us time and time again. Who does it fall on? It falls on the ordinary people. Who were the companions of Imam Hussein? Were they super soldiers? Were they the best warriors of the land? No, they were ordinary people who saw that if they didn't stand up, nobody was going to, right? Who knew that they could either stand up and make a stand, right? They weren't going to succeed, and they knew that going in, that they were not going to succeed, but at least they would make a stand. They would make a splash. People would remember them for generations, right? Or they can sit there under the rule of Yazid. And like I said a few nights ago, they could have been comfortable. But they decided to get up and do something. And of course, never back down when you're on the true path. Doesn't matter if your back is against the wall and it feels like nothing is going right for you. If you are on the right path and you know what you're doing is correct, then you continue. Because eventually you will succeed. And if you don't succeed, then the people after you will try because of what you did. The people after you will take initiative because of what you did and keep going. Because time and time again, it has been tried that truth always prevails over falsehood. That the straight and narrow always beats falsehood. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقَّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ. Say that truthhood has come and it has beaten falsehood. Because it has happened time and time again through history. So, You just have to put your back against the wall and keep going. So once again, these are all lessons that us, the youth, can learn from Imam Hussein. Not just the youth, but everybody here can learn from Imam Hussein. And before I end off, I want to thank this community for allowing me to come up here on these 10 nights, listening to me. I know my speeches haven't always been the best, but alhamdulillah, with the support of the community, my confidence has been growing every single day, and I feel like I have been able to get better every single day. So inshallah, I didn't bore you too much, and inshallah, I was able to bring something to the table. So thank you. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأنا أخذت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you, dear Sayyid Muhammad, for those beautiful presentations that you had throughout the 10 nights of Muharram. May Allah bless you and reward you, and inshallah for a better and better always. Also, thanks to Brother Samir, Haj Samir, for his beautiful, serene voice and the recitation. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. من كلام لسيدنا ومولانا أبي عبد الله الحسين: إني لم أخرج أشرا ولا بطرا ولا مفسدا ولا ظالما وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر وأسير بسيرة جدي وأبي علي بن أبي طالب صدق مولانا أبي عبد الله الحسين. اللهم صل على محمد. On the eve of Ashura, our condolences with sorrow and grief to the entire Islamic nation and to all the free people around the world, and above all of them is to our master Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari salamullahi alayhi wa ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. According to Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, says, on such night, When you greet each other, say this. Say, أَضَّمَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَأُلَكُمْ الْأَجْرِ بِمُصَابِ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ وَجَعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَارِهِ مَعَ وَلِيِّهِ الْإِمَامِ الْمَهْدِيِّ مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Tonight, the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima al-Zahra, Imam al-Hasan, and all Imams, all the infallible Imams of Ahlul Bayt are sitting in mourning and sorrow. This event, 10th of Muharram, no doubtedly is considered to be a most important event in the Islamic history after the Hijrah and Ba'tha of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It cannot be rivaled by any other event. It is a turning point in the Islamic history. The Prophet, peace be upon him, 57 years before the incident and the tragedy of Karbala, he mentioned the tragedy and he wept and grieved. Right on the day of birth of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned the tragedy of Karbala. Not only once and not only twice, repeatedly, in numerous occasions, the Prophet used to remind the companions and Muslims about this tragedy. And always he would say it with anguish and grief. Tears fill his eyes. Anguish is how he used to say those words, always with anguish and sorrow. It is unusual. Someone talks about an incident that will happen to his grandson about almost 60 years from now on. It is unheard of. Natural disasters, troubles, problems, tragedies always strike and happen. Why would the Prophet, peace be upon him, mention them on multiple occasions with different narrations and different narrators, by the way? Ummu Salama, the wife of the Prophet, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, the wife of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and all those narrators, one after one, mentioned the incident of Karbala. He would not leave any important occasion without alluding to the tragedy of Karbala. Why? Because of his emotions? Was the Prophet, peace be upon him, so emotional that he would say it unintentionally, inadvertently? He could not control himself. In fact, history tells us otherwise. History tells us that at age 2, Ibrahim, the child of the Prophet, son of a Prophet, departed and passed away. At a young age, very young age, the Prophet held his composure. He was not as showing anguish and grief as much as, not even nearly as much as when he did with Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. History tells us that after the departure of the little Ibrahim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعُ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنُ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Tears will come spontaneously. Hearts will be in a grief. And we are so sorrowful to see you gone, O Ibrahim. وَلَا نَقُولُ مَا لَا يُرْضِ الرَّبِّ. But we would not say anything that will upset our Lord. فَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That's it. This is the emotion of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Very composed and calm when it comes to a demise and departure of one of the family members. He lost two of his daughters, Zainab and Ruqayya, during his lifetime. And he did not show that much anguish to the loss of those beloved ones.
But Imam al-Hussein was different. Why? Because the occasion is grandiose. Because the personality, the hero of Karbala was exceptional. And because of the cause itself was very exceptional and important. The cause of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and the mission that he carried out was not carried out by any, not even by his father Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, not by his brother al-Imam al-Hassan. So grandiose, so difficult. And that was the revolution of reform. The topic of the night is Imam Hussein's revolution of reform. As he said, أُرِيدُ الْإِصْلَاحَ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. I want to reform my grandfather's nation. How far was it from the departure of the Prophet? The Prophet departed at the advent of 11th of Al-Hijrah. And Imam Hussein's martyrdom was in 61 of Al-Hijrah. Only 50 years after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What reforms Imam Hussein is talking about? The most noble creature, Khatam al-Anbiya, has been sent to this nation with the Holy Quran, with all the sacredness. Then after 50 years, this nation needs a reform, and in such horrible and a brutal way. Why? What has happened throughout those 50 years that has passed after the Prophet, peace be upon him? When you ask, many would tell you, okay, there was a despot, there was a brutal dictator and ruler, and he was immoral, he was not abiding by the religious bindings, therefore it needed some political, social, and some norms in the reforms in the norms. That's what, you know, what needed. Some immoralities in different places in the Islamic Empire. Of course, this is natural. Any other country, any other nation would have certain abnormalities. Therefore, there must be some reforms. That's what comes to the mind of the majority. A dictator, a tyrant, a dissolute man that needs to be reformed and replaced. But the issue was much more significant than that. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was talking about a religious reform, because religion itself was distorted. Perversion in religion has happened. You see, there are two forms of deviation. One is the apparent one, that people do not adhere to the religious values, to the Islamic values. They show animosity toward those values. They do not adhere to them. Drinking, gambling, not praying, all kind of lewd acts. These are all apparent. But then there is another deviation and deviance, and that is within the religion itself. The religious authority, under the guise of religion, they attack religion. They destroy religion. And that is most dangerous thing. When you see this individual, you see he's a religious person, pious, righteous person, but he has twisted those ideologies and the religious concept in order for his own political agenda, to advance his own political agenda, but twisting the religion, changing the form of religion. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sallu alayhi wa ala aswatikum. He tells Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he tells him, Ya Ali, both will be fighting. I am the one who was fighting, and you will be fighting. But the fights are a little bit different. My battle is for the revelation. I had a bunch of kafirs, ignorant pagans who were mushrik, who were apparently mushrik, did not believe in tawheed, did not believe in prayers, and I had to change them. They came to attack me, and my job was to fight for the revelation. But yours is much more difficult. You are fighting for the interpretation of Islam. Because there are many forms and many versions, and Islam has been distorted. You are fighting some people who are apparently are believers and Muslims, but in reality they are nothing but hypocrites. Ya Ali, anta tuqatilu ala at-ta'wil, on the interpretation of Islam. Kama qataltu ala al-tanzil. My enemy was Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Sakhr ibn Harb and those pagans. You know, they were mushrik. Front, hidden, and front. In and out. Simple, simple mushrik. But then you, Ya Ali, you're going to fight a complex mushrik. Someone inside is full of kufr, but outside is a righteous person. Apparently he's abiding by the rules of Islam, but what he's trying to do, covertly attacking Islam. You know those people that we call Ashabul Jibah al-Sud. Their forehead was darkened, were darkened. From what? From prostration. They used to recite the entire Quran during Salatul Layl. 11 rak'ah, they start from Surah Al-Baqarah and end up with Surah Al-Nas. Yet, they were perverted. They have distorted Islam. That's why Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he fought the Khawarij, he was boasting about his action. He says, أنا الذي فقأت عين الفتنة. I was the one who took out the eyes of the sedition. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ لِيَتَجَرَّأَ عَلَيْهَا غَيْرِي. No one could challenge them. Why? Because those apparently are believers. Recite the Holy Quran. They perform Hajj. They do zakat. But in reality, they are fighting the genuine religion. Among them is the corrupted power, the corrupted sultan. Among them is a dissolute scholar, a alim, alimun mutahattik, that just in order to appease the ruler, appease the dictator and the despot, should we announce a movement, Hajj Mujtaba? Should we stand up and move a little bit? I will mention the holy name of the Imam. Please, brothers, stand up and come forward. رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. One more time, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So this corrupt religious power could not, while being seated at the throne of Khilafah of the Prophet, fight the Prophet openly. They have to find a way, they have to bypass this under the cloak of religion to come and distort religion. I will give you three examples through my talk. Number one is that a total obedience for Sultan. If you remember my first night that I talked, and I talked about a human dignity, I said one way to demolish a human dignity was a political reason. A political thug, a despot, will humiliate his people. But then he gets a credence from a religious figure. The religious figure, you're telling him you're doing an excellent thing. This is what you should do. And people have no right to go against you. So the first principle that was dominated, that was distorted, and was dominant during the time of Imam Hussein, is a total obedience to the Sultan. You always have to show obedience and submission to the ruler, even if the ruler was dissolute. Even if the ruler was a despot. Again, you have to listen and follow. and widely narrated this hadith. I recited it at the beginning of our talk 10 days ago. Again, I am repeating. The Prophet, again, they falsify this word in the mouth of the Prophet. He says, يَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهُدَايِ وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جُثْمَانِ إِنْسِ. After me, there will come some rulers, but they would never follow my tradition, nor my words. They are, in fact, their spirits are shaitan's spirits, Iblis. But their body is a human body. So one man, Hudayfa, told him at that incident, what should we do, Ya Rasulullah, when we have such kind of ruthless ruler? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, تَسْمَعْ وَتُطِيعْ. You listen and you follow. وَإِنْ ضَرَبَ ظَهْرَكَ وَأَخَذَ مَالَكَ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِعْ. Even if he transgress, beat you up, confiscate your wealth, humiliate you, denigrate you, still your sanctified duty is that you should listen. You should not show any dissent. You see how perverse and convoluted this idea is? This idea that has killed the philosophy of dissent in Islam. You don't see any opposition. Look, after the time of the Prophet, all the way down to here, which Islamic country believes in the opposition? Do we have any opposition? Where are those opposition? The descending thought has killed it, has destroyed it. Nothing. For any government to flourish, for any society to flourish and to advance, you have to have multiple thoughts. You have to have multiple thinking. But when there is only one dominant, the rest of the population become just robot, just to follow the Sultan and say yes. That's what has happened over the 1400 years of governments of the Islamic rulers. With one exception only. The masterpiece of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the greatest achievement of Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he allowed oppositions to talk and to say their opinion. Without a fear, he respected them. He legalized the thinking of opposition. Any opposition during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib was legalized. One day the Imam is reciting his khutbah, Salat al-Jumu'ah. In Salat al-Jumu'ah, one Khariji stand up and says, "In al-hukmu illa lillah, la laka ya Ali." The Imam kept quiet. Sat down. Another man stood up. Once the Imam wanted to talk, a second one stood up and said, "In al-hukmu illa lillah, la laka ya Ali." The rule is for Allah, not you. Again, the Imam was quiet. A third one and fourth one. When everybody was quiet, the Imam said, "Ya Subhanallah, kalimatu haqqin urida biha batil." You're using the right words, but for a wrong cause. This is a perversion. Then the Imam tells them this. He says, "Ama inna lakum indana thalatha khisas." I will guarantee you three rights. Number one, "La namna'ukum masajid Allah." You will come to Masajid Allah and perform your prayers. By the way, masajid at that time were not, you know, similar to today. Masjid at that time was a pulpit for the opposition, for the ruler to speak. Everybody who had an idea would come to the masjid and give his ideas, whether schooling, teaching, political thoughts, philosophy, any type of knowledge was flourishing in the masjid, like a media. So the Imam tells them that you have the right to express yourself. The media, the press is at your hand. "La namna'ukum masajid Allah an tusallu fiha wa la namna'ukum al-fay'." The welfare that we give, the allowances that I distribute to everybody, I will not prevent you from that allowance. The stimulus check will come to you even if you are my opposition. And a third one, And the third one is مَا دَامَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَلَا نَبْدَأُكُمْ بِحَرْبٍ حَتَّى تَبْدَأُونَ. We will not fight you as long as you do not fight us. Do not bear arms, we will let you at peace. That was Ali ibn Abi Talib. One day, he was speaking, talking. One of the Khawarij enjoyed those words. Said, these are impossible coming from an ordinary man. But he's a Khariji, he doesn't believe in Ali ibn Abi Talib. Stood in front of everyone, shouted, says, قَاتَلَهُ اللَّهُ كَافِرًا مَا أَفْقَهُ. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib, what a kafir. But at the same time, very faqih, very knowledgeable. The entire companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they rushed to him. They took out their sword to behead him. Ali ibn Abi Talib screamed, مَهِن مَهْ, wait, what's going on? إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا سَبٌّ بِسَبٌّ أَوْ عَفْوٌ عَنْ ذَبٌّ. At worst, curse him. The same way that he cursed me, you also curse him. Or, عَفْوٌ عَنْ ذَبٌّ, forgive him. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has forgiven them. That was the only ruler, the only ruler in the Islamic history that welcomed the opposition and gave them the right to speak. Once Ali ibn Abi Talib was gone, the entire opposition also was annihilated in the entire history of Muslim world. That was one bigger problem. Not only that, not only Bani Umayyah would tell people to, you know, stay put and be patient and do not do anything against the ruler. No, they will justify their actions that this is God's order. Abdullah ibn Umar wrote a complaint to Muawiyah. How do you install someone like Yazid? Yazid, who's an outright kafir, you appoint him to become Amir al-Mu'mineen? Look what Muawiyah said. He wrote back to him, Ya Abdullah, in amra Yazid qad kana qada'an min qada'illah. God has ordered this, not me. It is qada'illah. When Zainab entered the court of Ibn Ziyad, what did Ibn Ziyad tell her? Tell her, Ya Zainab, kayfa ra'ayti sun'a Allah bi'akhiki. How did you see what Allah did to your brother and to your siblings and those bandits that were with him, saying that Allah has done this to him, to them? Zainab told him, ma ra'aytu illa jameela. When Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, Zainul Abidin, entered in the courtyard of Yazid, Yazid said, alaysa qad qatala Allah Ali ibn al-Husayn. They told him, this is Ali ibn al-Husayn. He said, alaysa Allah qad qatala Ali ibn al-Husayn. God has killed Ali ibn al-Husayn. He doesn't say that we killed him. He said, God has killed Ali ibn al-Husayn. Ali ibn al-Husayn said, قَدْ كَانَ لِي أَخٌ إِسْمُهُ عَلِيُّ الْأَكْبَرُ قَدْ قَتَلَهُ النَّاسِ. People have killed him. He said, no, God has killed him. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam said, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسِ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا. You killed him? Then God took out his soul. So they feed into people's minds that our action was ordained by God. He was the one who asked us to do. Who was the one who commanded us to do? That was one example. The second example after your big and loud salawat. They would consider any revolt as divisive. You're not supposed to break the unity of Ummah. The most sanctified thing, the most sacred thing in an Islamic nation is the unity. When you revolt, you jeopardize the unity of the Islamic Ummah. Therefore, you're not supposed to do this, because that would be in stark opposition to the words of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. You're not supposed to show disagreement. You're not supposed to show hostility to each other. When you revolt, you will cause disunity. People have to listen to their ruler. They have to follow their ruler. When you do this, you broke the unity of the nation, and the nation will be weakened and weakened. And they have, again, a hadith from the Prophet to support their claim. They say this hadith, and this is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, من خرج عن الطاعة وفارق الجماعة ومات فميتته ميتة جاهلية. Whoever it break the allegiance of the ruler and separate himself from the population, meaning revolting, and dies, his death is like someone who died in Jahiliyyah, a pagan, a mushrik. And they propagate this word to the population. This is, you know, this is what happened with Al-Imam al-Hussein. He broke the unity of the nation. While there is a condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when says, be united, he says, bihablillah. When you have a straight path toward Allah, not every unity. Every unity is not desired. Otherwise, all the prophets, all messengers that God has sent them, they're all considered to be divisive figures because they came to change the status quo. They came to oppose the ruler and cause havoc and chaos in the community. Therefore, all of those prophets and messengers are considered to be divisive figures. They're not uniting. And a testimonial to that, Allah talks about Fir'aun, says, Fir'aun was telling his people, get united. We have a common enemy called Musa. Let's get united to fight this man. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلُ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يُبَدِّلَ دِينَكُمْ أَوْ أَنْ يُظْهِرَ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْفَسَادِ. Musa will show corruption, will change your faith, your religion that you've been worshipping, this religion for so many years, so many centuries. This divisive figure came to change the mode in the society. Do not allow him. All those prophets will be considered disuniting figures if this argument was held true. But again, they would disseminate these information, these bogus ahadith and narrations of the prophet to conquer the minds and the hearts of people, to hibernate the people, to make them sedated, paralyzed, so they do not have any movement. And here came Al-Imam al-Hussein to put a difference between a just ruler and a ruthless ruler. When he said that, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا جَائِرًا مُسْتَحِلًّا لِحَرَامِ اللَّهِ نَاكِثًا لِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ يعمل في عباد الله بالإثم والعدوان فلم يغير عليه بقول أو بفعل كان حقا على الله أن يدخله مدخلة. I have heard my grandfather Rasulullah, who says, if you see a ruthless dictator, a despot, who does not follow the tradition of the Prophet, and he breaks his covenant with God, and works in hostility against people, and you keep it quiet, God will put you in the same level as he is in Jahannam. And you have to speak up. وَأَنَا أَحَقُّ مَنْ غَيَّرْ. I am the first one to change. That was the words of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. And the third concept, and we'll, inshallah, complete everything, is that the concept of mujtahid when he make a mistake. There is a concept in the Islamic jurisprudence. If a jurist, a alim, a scholar, in his verdicts, he gives a verdict, and then later on finds out that he made a mistake in that verdict, what will be happening to him? Is he going to be punished? Is he a sinner? Or no, not a sinner and not a good doer? Or he did a good thing. Which one of those? Again, they falsify this religious concept. They bring a hadith from the Prophet, again narrated in the most important books of the hadith that he says, and Amr ibn al-As sami'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi yaqul idha hakama al-hakim, a judge, a ruler, a scholar, made a verdict, fajtahada thumma asab, he made ijtihad, he extracted the true hukm, what God wanted, and he had it right, fa'asab falahu ajran, this man will receive two rewards. وَإِذَا حَكَمَ فَاجْتَهَدَ ثُمَّ أَخْطَرَ, he made the verdict, he made ijtihad, but his ijtihad was wrong, his verdict was wrong, he will get one reward. فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ, he, instead of getting two rewards, he will get one reward. So a mujtahid, a scholar, a alim, a ruler, when he makes a mistake, he will get one reward. Now Muawiyah was a mujtahid, and Ali ibn Abi Talib was a mujtahid. Yazid was a mujtahid, and Hussein was a mujtahid. So it's not a big deal. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the right one, so he has two rewards. Muawiyah made the ijtihad, but maybe it was false, so he gets one reward. Hussein was mujtahid and did according to his own verdicts, according to his own findings, he will get two rewards, but Yazid at least will get one reward. It's not a big deal. So what? Why so much fighting for over these years and causing sectarian violence and division among the ummah? This guy is a mujtahid and this guy is a mujtahid. And this is how they fit into people's mind. Now you think that has happened 1400 years ago? Go right now. Go to the religious texts, to the curriculums in the most Arabic countries, curriculums in the middle school and in the high school. You see the same thing. So you cannot curse Yazid. Under which pretext you curse Yazid? Yazid was a mujtahid. He acted according to his ijtihad. Can I also do ijtihad and say God does not exist? And the prophethood of Rasulullah was not a prophet. Is that okay? Can a mujtahid make this? Which areas can a mujtahid give his verdict? Anything? We have usul al-deen and we have furu' al-deen. Usul al-deen, those are that clear and very obvious. No one can make ijtihad in them. Furu' only those that are ambiguous. And then who will make ijtihad? Anyone? Yazid can make an ijtihad? Can he also declare that he can kill the Prophet? And is that considered to be ijtihad? Which personality Yazid used to have? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, when he was in Medina, he told the governor of Medina, told him, Ya Amir, let us tell you, who am I and who's Yazid? Yazid رجل فاسق شارب للخمر قاتل النفس المحترمة معلن بالفسق, a dissolute, an immoral, a drinker, an alcoholic, a murderer. When someone murders someone else, God will not forgive him. He show off in his behavior. They narrate that he used to drink and drink a lot until they told him, now you became Amir al-Mu'mineen. Stop it, shame. What did he say? He recited this poetry. He says, read this. دَعِ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلْعُبَّادِ تَسْكُنُهَا وَقِفْ عَلَى دَكَّةِ الْخَمَّارِ وَسْقِينَا مَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ وَيْلٌ لِلْأُولَى شَرِبُوا بَلْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Leave the masajid. Masajid, leave it for those people who do their rituals. Go to the pub and give us some drink. Let's drink. Allah did not promise to give wail, to punish those who drink. Rather, has said, wailun lil musallin. Jahannam is for musallin, not for those who drink. Ridiculing, mocking the principles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And he is called Khalifa of Rasulullah. With this mentality, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein came to have a face-off, to fight. This was the reform of Abi Abdullah, to change the perception of people that someone like Yazid in a cloak of religion with such kind of perverted ideas, he cannot be. Nowadays, when you look at the Islamic world, what do you see? Why? Why we are so backward? Why the Islamic world is so humiliated, so weak, poverty stricken, always denigrated? All the troubles are in the heads of Muslims. Why? Because from the advent of Islam, there was not a respect for this nation. They destroyed the integrity of the Muslim. They destroyed the respect, the honor, the strength of any Muslim. Therefore, dictator after dictator, dictator after dictator. We have the best religion, the best ideology, but the poorest example, the poorest practice. Interestingly, there is a research group, you know, a collection of economists. I think it's called Islamic City Institute. They measured the world countries, how they live by Quranic standards, by Islamic principles that are mentioned in Quran. They gave it a number, index. Universal values, you know, human rights, equal rights, the right of a property, the right of expression, the right of self-governance. These are the ideas that you see it in the Holy Quran. Those group of economists ranked the world populations and world countries based on adherence to these Islamic principles. Which Islamic country became first? All in these? None. None. According to this study, interestingly, please go and read. You know, that was back in 2017, and they kept updating every year. Number one country was New Zealand, followed by Sweden, followed by the Netherlands, followed by Switzerland. The first Islamic country to follow out of this list was Malaysia, number 45. Number 45, an Islamic country showing its adherence to the Islamic principles that have been revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the Holy Quran. Now, those who declare their Islam and say we are Islamic and Islamic, do you know what their numbers are? 95 and 105. 94 countries are before them. I'm not going to mention names. This is the fact, brothers and sisters. We should cry upon ourselves. Why an entire nation, 1.9 billion people, could not salvage Palestine from a handful of occupants for over 60 years now, more than 60 years, 70 years, 72 years, that they are a hostage? Why? It's because of from the beginning. Because the beginning was wrong. And here came Abi Abdullah al-Hussein to revolt, to reform with his blood. He saw that his blood has to be spilled. He should give up his life in order to salvage the religion of his father. In his famous word that he used to give, he would say that, ألا ترون إلى الحق لا يعمل به وإلى الباطل لا يتناهى عنه ليمضي المؤمن محقا إلى ربه ألا وإني لا أرى الموت إلا سعادة والحياة مع الظالمين إلا برمة. Such life that I stay with those ظالمين, with those criminals, is not a life, it's death. Death to me is this, when I have to exist with those people. Rather, I need to just choose to live. Today, did you see those thousands upon thousands of believers who poured into shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein? 1400 years ago, the incident took place. Still, the memory of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is still alive. He gained the eternal life with his movement. The poet says those words from أبي عبد الله. He says وبعزة قعساء خاطب نفسه. يا نفس لا تهني بنصر الدين، أعطيت ربي موثقا لا ينقضي إلا بقتلي، فاصعدي وذريني إن كان دين محمد لم يستقم إلا بقتلي. يا سيوف خذيني، هذه رجالي في رضاك ذبائح ما بين منحور وبين طعيني، وإليك أشكو خالقي من عصبة جهلوا مقامي بعدما عرفوني، ماء الفرات محلل لكلابهم وأنا الذي عن ورده منعوني. On the eve of Ashura, he called upon all the companions and assured them that tomorrow by noon all of you will be massacred. Take the opportunity of the thick of the night and disappear. Each one of you take a member of my family and disappear in this night, in this darkness. None of them accepted. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas said, Ya Aba Abdullah, for what reason so we live after you? La khayra fil hayat ba'daka ya Aba Abdullah. What's life worth after you, Ya Aba Abdullah? In the afternoon of Ashura, after Salat al-Dhuhr and Asr, all the companions, all the household members of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn were massacred. He kept looking right and left, searching for a companion. Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna? Ala hal min mu'inin yu'inuna? No answer. Then he started to call them one by one. He says, Ya Muslim ibn Aqil, ويا هاني ابن عروة ويا حبيب ابن مظاهر ويا زهير ابن القين ويا مسلم ابن عوسجة يا أبطال الصفا وفرسان الهيجة ما لي أناديكم فلا تجيبون. I am calling you, why don't you answer me? وأدعوكم فلا تسمعون. I keep begging you and you do not hear me. أأنتم نيام أرجوكم تنتبهون. Are you asleep that you do not realize that your imam is calling you? أم حالت منيتكم عن إمامكم فلا تنتصرون. Or because you are dead now on the ground that you cannot recall me, you cannot say لبيك to my call. فهذه نساء الرسول لفقدكن قد علاهن النحول. Come to rescue the family of Rasulullah. These are the children, the women of Rasulullah. وقوموا عن نومتكم يا كرام وادفعوا عن حرم الرسول هؤلاء الطغاة اللئام. They are attacking us from everywhere, but there was no answer. The Imam had no choice. He was hopeless. He went back again to the camp and screamed, Ya Zainab, wa ya Umma Kalthum, wa ya Sukaynah, wa ya Ruqayyah, wa ya Rabab, alaykun minni salam. These are the last moments between me and you. We will see each other in the paradise. Al-Wida', al-Wida', I bid farewell to you. فَهَذَا آخِرُ الْإِجْتِمَاعِ وَقَدْ قَرُبَ مِنْكُنَّ الْإِبْتِجَاعِ فَاسْتَعِدُّوا لِلْبَلَاءِ. Get ready for the divine test. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ حَافِظَكُمْ وَحَامِيكُمْ. God will protect you. God will be with you. وَسَيُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْ شَرِّ الْأَعْدَاءِ. He got ready, said farewell to all the members, to all the family members, and he was going back to the battlefield. All of a sudden, he hears a faint voice from behind, Habibi Hussein, Ukhayya Hussein, oh my brother Hussein. He looks back, he sees Zainab, what do you want? She said, can you step down from your horse? I have to do something. I have to tell you something. As he stepped down from the horse, she opened his dress and imprinted a kiss right on his throat and his chest. Then she looked toward Medina and said, As-salamu alayki ya Ummah Fatima, laqad addaytu al-amana. Fatima, my mother, you told something and I did it. I did what you have asked me. Hussein told her, what did she ask you? She said, Hussein, on the last day of our mother's life, when she was about to die, she called me. I was by her. She said, Zainab, I want you to do something. One day you see Hussein alone in front of the enemy. I want you to kiss him right on his throat, on his chest, before he goes to the enemy. And this is what I did. Imam Hussein takes his sword, mounts his horse, and rushes to the enemy, and saying in his reciting the Rajas, the ode, Ana al-Hussein ibn Ali, آليت أن لا أنتني أحمي عيالات أبي أمضي على دين النبي. He started to kill them like sheep, slaughtering them left and right. But then they attacked his camp. All of a sudden he saw that they are attacking camp. He declared, يا شيعة آل أبي سفيان إن لم يكن لكم دين وكنتم لا تخافون المعاد فكونوا أحرارا في دنياكم. Don't attack the woman. I am the one who's fighting you. Why do you go to my camp? Then they attacked him. He got tired. As he was resting, a stone came and hit his forehead. The blood started gushing from everywhere. As he lifted his shirt to clean the blood from his forehead, an arrow came and penetrated his heart. At that time, blood started to gush. He was fainting. He took a scoop from that blood and stained his face and his beard with it. And the second one, he threw it to the skies. And then he declared, Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah wa ala sunnati rasulillah. He collapsed from the horse. The horse started to roam with him, circling him, not leaving him, staining his face with the blood of Abi Abdullah, with the blood of his master. Then he went screaming to the camp. The children, the women thought that Imam Hussein came back. As they got up the tent, they saw the horse by himself. The knight is not there. What has happened? I recite these moments from Ziyaratul Nahiya, from Al-Imam Al-Mahdi. He says, Ya Jaddah, فهويت إلى الأرض جريحا تطأك الخلول بحوافرها وتعلوك الطغاة بتبواترها وأسرع إليك وأسرع فرسك شاردا إلى خيامك قاصدا محمحما فلما رأيت النساء جوادك مخزيا ونظرن سرجك عليه ملويا برزن من الخدور ناشرات الشعور لاطمات الوجوه. They started to beat their faces. وبالعويل داعيات. But then all of a sudden they saw Shams sitting on your chest. ومؤمنين. Who says وا إماما وا حسينا لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you.
یا شما بگیرم چی شد بالاخر تصمیم چی شد شما بگیرم من لطمه رو میخونم یه مختصر شما بگیرم
رزام یه میگیریم بعد دوباره بگیرم بعدش به آخرش میگیرم
آقا فقط این
جلو اون جا هست خواهش بکنم بفرد اینجا جلو جا هست بفرد
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم یا رحمان و یا رحیم یا ارحم الراحمین صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا أبو عبد الله يا حسين ابن علي أيها الشهيد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها يا وجيها عند الله ما راه تو انتخاب کردیم حسین و از غیر تو اجتناب کردیم حسین ما را اگر از حساب پروایی نیست روی کرمت حساب کردیم حسین حسین آرام جانم روح روانم همه حسین حسین رو روانم حسین سالار زینب حسین غم حسین آرا حسین حسین دار و ندارم، حسین باغ و بهارم. امشب حسین دارد بدا با اهل بیت مصطفی، فردا میان قتلگه گردد سرش از تن جدا. امشب حسین ابن علی با حق کند راز و نیاز، فرداز خون خود وضو میگیرد از بهر نماز. امشب نگهبان حرم سقای طفلان میشود، فردا کنار الغمه لب تشنه قربان میشود. امشب بود اندر جنان زهرا عزادار حسین، فردا کنار قتلگه آید به دیدار حسین. شب عاشوراست، شب وداع آقا با عبدالله با یارانه، شب وداع زینب با امام حسین علیه السلام. در کربلا امشب چه قوقایی به پا شده، خوشا به حال اونایی که توفیق داشتن مثل امشب و فردا رو کنار قبر مطهر آقا با عبدالله الحسین هستن. ما هم از اینجا عرض ارادت و سلام کنیم به خدمت مولای من حسین. امشب همه باید صداهاشون رو مرخص کنی، کسی نباید ساکت باشه. اگه میبینی امشب اشکت جاریه از آقا تشکر کن، اگه امشب حال و اشک و سوز و آهی به تو دست داده بدون دوست دارن، بدون اهل بیت بهت نظر محبت دارن، اونو از خودشون میدونن شما رو در این ایام و شبها و اجازه سوگواری. خدا میدونه حسین حسین گفتن و توفیقشو به همه نمیشه داد. نوشتن شب عاشورا آقا یارانشو دور برش جمع کرد، پس از حمد و ثنا به خداوند فرمود من اصحابی صالح‌تر از شما در پیش خودم ندیدم، اهل بیتی بهتر از اهل بیت خودم نمیشناسم. خدا به همه شما عنایت کنه، من بیعت خودم رو از گردن شما برداشتم. از تاریکی شب استفاده کنید، برید، اینا فقط با من کار داره. آنگاه رو به فرزندان مسلم ابن عقیل کرد، فرمود شهادت مسلم برای شما کافیه، من به شما اجازه دادم برین. از همین جا شیش گوشه قبر امام حسین رو در نظر بیاور، همه عرض کنیم یا حسین.
عزیزان به احترام امام حسین بلند شیم، ما میخوام امشب سینه زنین رو زودتر شروع کنیم.
امشبی را شه دین در حرمش مهمان است، امشبی را شه دین در حرمش مهمان است، عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. مکن ای صبح طلوع امشبی را شه دین در حرمش مهمان است، عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. مکن ای صبح طلوع شب قتل است یک امشب که حسین مهمان است، غمش امشب همه از تشنگی طفلان است. مکن ای صاحب طلو، مکن ای صاحب طلو، مکن ای صاحب طلو، جام ای صاحب مزن چاک مده جولان را، جام ای صاحب مزن چاک مده جولان را. هست مهمان شه دین امشب و هست مهمان شه دین امشب و فردا را. مکن ای صاحب طلو، مکن امشبی را، شه دین در حرمش مهمان است. جانم مکن ای صبح طلو، عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. عصر فردا مکن ای صبح طلو، چرخ ای چرخ مزن چرخ دگر امشب را، چرخ ای چرخ مزن چرخ دگر امشب را. تا قیامت تو نگهدار همه کوکب را، نه حسین فکر عیال است و نه فکر جان است. مکن ای صبح طلو، امشبی را شهدین، امشبی را شهدین، عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. مکن ای مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای صبح طلو، همه بینن ز ما ناله و چون شیون را، همه بینن ز ما ناله و چون شیون را. شم از قتل حسین بهر حسین دربان است. مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای صبح طلو، امشبی را شهدین در هر امشبی را شهدین، عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. عصر فردا بدنش مکن ای صبح طلو، باد ای باد پریشان تو نما عالم را، باد ای باد پریشان تو نما عالم را. تا قیامت تو نگهدار همه خاتم را، سعد سردار لعین بست صف لشکرتین، بهر قتل شهدین، بهر قتل شهدین. شم خنجر به کفش سعد لعین خندان است. مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای مکن ای صبح طلو، امشبی را شهدین در حرمش مهمان است. امشبی عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. عصر فردا بدنش زیر سم اسبان است. مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای مکن ای صبح طلو، مکن ای مکن ای صبح طلو.
امشب اگر فردا شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا امشب اگر فردا شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا خونین جگر زهرا شود آه و ویلا امشب اگر شب اگر فردا شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا خونین جگر زهرا شود آه و ویلا امشب چراغ خیمه ها نور نمازم شب چراغ خیمه ها نور نمازم پیر و جوان را با خدا راز و نیازم هر عاشقی در خیمه ای در سوز و سازم تا حکمشان امضا شود آه و ویلا امشب اگر فردا شود آه و ویلا امشب اگر آه و ویلا خونین جگر زینب شود آه و ویلا خونین جگر خونین جگر مرشید فردا در جهان سوزان برایم مرشید فردا در جهان سوزان براید آن هم ز دامان افق عطشان براید با سوز دل از حسرت طفلان براید دمساز با سقا شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا امشب امشب اگر خونین جگر خونین جگر زهرا شود امشب بگرد خیمه ها گردد ابلفن امشب بگرد خیمه ها گردد ابلفن فردا شهید کربلا گردد ابلفن دو دستش از پیکر جدا گردد ابن فز چون عازم ایجا شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا امشب اگر آه و ویلا امشب اگر خونین جگر این جگر زهرا شود خون این جگر زینب که محو چهره مولای خیشم زینب که محو چهره مولای خیشم دست و گریبان با دل و غمهای خیشم حسین چون برپا شود آقا وویلا آقا وویلا امشب اگر فردا شود آقا وویلا امشب اگر این جگر گه با دو فرزندش کند شب زنده داری در پای گلهایش بریزد عشق یاری سازد محیا آن دو راه بر جان ساری چون نوبت گلها شود آه و ویلا آه و ویلا امشب اگر در دامن مادر علی اصغر بخوابست در دامن مادر علی اصغر بخوابست آسود دل از دیدن کودک رو بابست فرداز خون خون فرداز خون خون داغه اصغر خضابست نشکفت این گل با شبر آه و با بینا آه و با امشب اگر شب اگر این جگر زهرا شبر خانه فرات امشب تو دین خود ادا کن خانه فرات امشب تو دین خود ادا کن چون مهر زهرایی به آل او وفا کن مخفی ز دشمن در حرم راهی تو وا کن شاید گلی احیا شود آه و با ویلا آه و با ویلا امشب اگر شب اگر آه و با ویلا شب اگر فردا شود آه و با ویلا امشب اگر
قسما بالله داح الأرض خلاق السماوات وبما جاء به جبريل من وحي وآيات أنادي بكرامات إلى يوم الغياب سألوغ الموت بالعز ولا للظل هيها حسين 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 أرو حسين حسين اگر از خنجر خون ریز لب تشنه ببرن سرم اگر از تیغ شکافن در این عرصه خون جگرم رو اگر از تیرس شعبه دهندا و وز شیر گل نو سمرم اگر از داغ برادر شکند خصم ستمگر کمرم را قتيل العبرات أسير الكربات وهل تكتب أحزاني في الطف وحبر ودوات أبدا فالحزن لا يكتب إل بالدموع الجاريات سين 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 اگر از چهار طرف خصم زند بر جگرم تی اگر آید به سر و کتف و تنم ضربت شمش اگر از سنگ شود غرق به خون روی منیر اگر آتش عوض آب دهد خصم شریر اگر از داغ پسر سوزم و صد بار بمیر ظلمونی قتلو تان علی ظلموني قتلوا وتناسوا من أنا علي صارت الآلام في الأرض الأصالي وطنا كل ما مر على الكون من زاني قد مر مناي بخداي كمرا خاست با بيكر صد شاك ببي بسنم بتنم زخم دو صد نیزه و شمشیر نشیند به ستم گر ندهم دستم و ذلت نپذیرم اگر آرن به جنگم همه اهل زمین ها و سماوات سین 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 منم و عهد الستم نگسست نشکستم به خدا غیر خدا را نپرستم به خدا من پسر شیر خدا و پسر فاطمه هستم عربی و علوی و قرشی و شجری عربی عربی و علوی و قرشی و شجری عسری و علی احدی بدری فاطمی قمری همه دار و ندار و همه هفتاد و دو یار به فدای ره جانان منم و سرخی روی منم و خون گلوی منم و هنجر عطشان منم و داغ جوان منم و خاک بیا انا للهادی حبیبون وفي الطف قريب وسليب وتريب وعجيب أن أذوق الموت ضامي فمن أني يحامي وشيبها خضيب سي 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 من و رگهای بری منم و قلب درید منم و طفل صغیر منم و کودک شیر منم و دخت اسیر منم و حی قدیر اوهل یعبد رب الكون الفوق الارض مثل و انا المحراب من جاء به السیف و یصلی لما يقتل طفلي وتسبى كل أهلي لما يقطع نهر وبجنبي ماء نهر ما نمو زخم فراب ما نمو آية قر ما نمو زخم زبان ما نمو تیغ و سنان همه آیید و ببینید مقام و شرف و عزت ما را سن 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 وهنا الكل يرى ما بحالي قد جرى أو يرضى المصطفى خير ورى أي مكتوم حسين اغفرا بخدا وبرسول بعلي ابن أبي طالب زهراء بتول وشقيق المجتبى فحل الفحول لا أخي كيف به إن رأى الخيل على صدرك جول بهفتاد وديا بهبيبة بزهير بتريماه بجن بهب هاك سرش بجلال وشرف عباس وعباس بعثمان وبجد بشهيدان عقيل وبخلوص دل عبدالله وقاسم بعلي أكبر وداق بعلي أصغر وخود يلطم البدر على الصدر عزينا باليدين ودموع منه تجري كاللجين ويناد بحدادي وهو مكسور فؤادي يا عماد يا مراد يا حبيبي يا حسين 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 بقول يا أسمدي برقي بسكي بتن سوخته زينب كبرى ودو فرزند شهيد بلب تشنه اطفال سقي بتن خسته سجاد عزيز من از این قوم ستمگر نگوری نکنم بیعت و با خشم ستمگر بستید سر من بر سر نیها خدا جوید با دوست سخن گوید گردد هدف سنگ و خورد چوب نبینم به خدا غیر خدا را حسین حسین جونم علي ابن نبي عربي ورسول مدني ابن نبي عربي ورسول مدني واخيه اسد الله مسمى بعلي وبزهراء بتول وبأم ولدت وبصفتيه وشبليهما نجل زكي وبسجاد وبالباقر والصادق حق وبموسى وعلي وتقي ونقي وبذي العسكر والحجة القائم بالحق الذي يضرب بالسيف بحكم أزلي بمحمد ومحمد وعلي وعلي حسين 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 بعد ان سلام میگیرم یکی دیگه حسین حسین
حسين بن علي أليت أنا الحسين بن علي أليت ألا أنفني أنا الحسين بن علي أليت ألا أنفني أحمي عيالاتي أبي أمضي على دين النبي ابن علي أليت ألا أنفني أنا الحسين أليت ألا أنفني أنا الحسين ابن علي أليت ألا أنفني أنا الحسين ابن أليت ألا أنفني أحمي عيالاتي أبي أمضي على دين النبي أنا الحسين من سقت خيولهم على الجسد أنا الذي سهم العدا أودى بقلبي فافتقد أنا الحسين بن علي أنا الحسين بن أليت ألا أنفني أنا الحسين بن علي أنا الحسين أليت ألا أنفني أنا الذي لا ناصر ينصره رغم العدد أنا القتيل في الوغى أنا القتيل في الوغى شكواي لله الأحد أنا الذي لا ناصر أنا الذي لا ناصر ينصره رغم العدد همه جسمي متوي جان بأبي أنت وأمي بأبي همه جسمي متوي جان بأبي أنت وأمي همه دردي متو جانان بأبي أم بأبي أنت بأبي أنت بأبي أنت وأمي كذب إيمان تبا حق همه قريان وتخندان بأبي أنت وأمي بأبي أنت ذي وجودت بوجود آمد شور و هیجانی در همه عالم امکان بأبي أنت وأمي جان فدایت که شد از روز نخستین ولادت کربلای تو نمایان بأبي أنت وأمي تو أبي أنت وأمي تو حسینی تو حسینی تو سراپا همه حسنی معدن جودی و احسان بأبي أنت وأمي بأبي أنت وأمي آن که دیوانه تو سر به بیابان بگذارد آن که دیوانه تو سر به بیابان بگذارد بگذرد از سر و سامان بأبي أنت وأمي بأبي أنت وأمي
قتل الحسين نبي كربلاء عطشانا قتل الحسين نبي كربلاء عطشانا بقو قتل الحسين Oh. پادشاه جانم قتل آنا ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه بزن ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه در خون نشسته شیبون خضیبه در خون نشسته شیبون خضیبه ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه ای اهل آقام غریبه در خون نشسته شیبون خضیبه در خون نشسته نمیگی شیبون دشنه ها دور و بر پیکر او حلقه زدن حلقه ها نقش عقیق یمنش را بردن این آتش یوسف معصوم کدامین مصر است که روی نیزه بوی پیراهنش را بردن قتل الحسین نوب کربلا عطشانا قتل الحسین نوب کربلا عطشانا ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه در بین اعدا ذکر لب او امن یجیبه در بین اعدا ذکر لب او جیبه بادها سین زنان زودتر از خواهر او تا مدینه خبر آمدنش را بردن یوسف آهسته بگوین نمیرد یعقوب گرگ ها یوسف گل پیراهنش را بردن قتل الحسین نوب کربلا یکی دیگه مون عطشانا قتل الحسین بلا یه بار دیگه گو عطشانا قتل الحسین علی عطشانا ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه در بین اعدا ذکر لب او امن یجیبه در بین اعدا ذکر لب او امن یجیبه ای اهل عالم آقام غریبه ای اهل عالم در بین اعدا ذکر لب او جیبه گرگ ها پیراهنش را بردن گرگ ها پیراهنش را بردن تکه های بدنش را بردن هر طرف را که نگه می کردی تشنه ها بر بدنش می خوردن قتل الحسین نوب کربلا عطشانا قتل الحسین
چشم ابوالفضل هدف تیر شد چشم ابوالفضل هدف تیر شد از غم عباس حسین پیر شد چشم ابوالفضل هدف تیر شد چشم ابوالفضل هدف تیر شد از غم عباس حسین پیر شد از غم عباس حسین پیر شد ای که نور دل مایی به ابی انت و امی ابی بر همه درد دوایی به ابی انت و امی نوگل باغ رسولی میوه قلب بتولی تو سراپای جلالی پدر فضل و کمالی پسر شیر خدایی بی ابی انت و امی بأبي أنت وأمي ادب از حلقه بگوشان سر کوی وفایت ادب از حلقه بگوشان سر کوی وفایت که همه مهر و وفایی به ابی انت و امی به ابی انت و امی به ابی انت و امی حسین 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 شهید کربلا حسین شهید نینوا حسین هر شب جمعه فاطمه آید به دشت کربلا گوید حسین من چه شد نور دو عین من چه شد علال عباس و ویلا حسین تنهاست و ویلا
حسین تنهاست و ویلا
علال عباس و ویلا